Welcome to Worlds of Tomorrow. An occasional feature will be running looking at some of the best in science fiction cinema. From acknowledged classics to forgotten gems, we'll be covering them all. Some of them you'll have seen, some you won't, some you're going to agree with me on, and some you'll wonder what I was drinking when I watched, but that's half the fun. Spoilers abound, so if you haven't seen the movie and want to be surprised, go rent it now. We'll still be here when you get back, I promise. Otherwise, set course for fun. This week, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. Joel ditches work one morning and, on impulse, goes out to Montauk. He meets Clementine on the train home, a wildly articulate, spiky, blue-haired tornado who sweeps him off his feet. Joel sits in his car, sobbing, as Everybody's Got to Learn Sometime plays on the stereo. On a sunny morning, encased in a duvet, Clementine tells Joel she always thought she was ugly. Joel wakes up as outside a car pulls away. Joel and Clementine play in the snow on a Montauk beach, laughing as they throw snow over each other. Nothing is mundane when you're in love. Every moment has a brilliant, shining opalescence to it that renders the normal magical, your partner extraordinary, and the world a better place. You see in their eyes not only the idealized version of yourself, but also the unshakable belief that that is the person you will one day be. There is no feeling on earth like it. Nothing as empowering, as intoxicating, as wonderful. But when you drop all your barriers, you drop your defences, and in those unguarded moments of honesty, when you say not just what you think but what will hurt the most, you see nothing but disappointment in your partner's eyes as, once again, you fail to live up to their expectations. Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind exists in the hinterland between these two statements, and in turn between two genres. It's clearly science fiction, but it's also a romantic comedy drama, each strand interlaced and wrapped around one another like Joel's increasingly deteriorating knotted memories. It's both incredibly complicated and incredibly simple, the most grounded science fiction movie of the last 10 years, and it is also, and this deserves emphasis, Jim Carrey's career best work. Carrey's serious work is consistently his most interesting, and here he's at the top of his game, playing a man whose rich internal life and dialogue is only made more external as it's collapsing. Joel is intensely, tediously normal, clearly shy, clearly broken in the way almost everyone is, and at the same time, consumed by the dissatisfaction that kicks in at the end of the 20s. He's articulate, and smart, and funny, and kind, and invisible. To most of the world, Joel is as faceless, as indistinct, as the inhabitants of his memories. Clementine brings him into focus, forces him to the front of his life, and like Carey, Winslet has never been better than she is here. Aggressive, confrontational, and barely holding it together, Clem is Joel's polar opposite. The only common ground they have is the silent, unspoken acknowledgement that the world has broken them both, and perhaps, with an extra pair of hands, they can at least patch the damage. The chemistry is instant, and from the moment Winslet pursues Carey around a railway platform with cheerful aggression to the final, tear-stained but hopeful exchange, that chemistry is maintained. These people belong together, and the question of whether or not they can survive that way ultimately becomes irrelevant. Michel Gondry, Charlie Kaufman, and Pierre Bismuth's script never loses sight of this relationship, even as Jeffrey, Patrick, and Stan are doing everything they can to erase it. Joel and Clem orbit around one another in the exact way they've always done, the path of Joel's desperate escape through his memories and search for the truth, mirroring the ascent and eventual descent of their relationship. Neither is wrong, neither is right. Both are normal people struggling to cope with one of the most challenging problems there is, making a relationship work. A lesser script would have contented itself with Joel and Clem's frantic dash through his memories, and the admittedly astonishing spectacle that it allows Gondry to show off. Cars fall from the sky, Joel is trapped on a Mobius strip street, an adult Joel relives a toddler memory of hiding under his kitchen table, and finally, Joel and Clem say what they should have said as the sea destroys a house that they spent less than half an hour inside. Gondry throws every visual trick in his considerable arsenal at the screen, as sets merge, images overlap, and people become abstractions. Each effect is impressive, and each is there to emphasize one thing. Joel is losing both the battle and Clementine. With this constant undercurrent of poignancy, the script further complicates matters by playing on its character's principal flaws. Clem's impulsive decision to erase Joel puts things in motion, while Joel's desperate desire to control, to stop, to procrastinate, leads to him resisting the process, which in turn leads to the collapse of Dr. Misriak's marriage, Mary and Frank's relationship, and the eventual destruction of Lacuna Incorporated, to say nothing of damaging his natural drift back towards Clementine. That would already have begun to happen. This is incredibly brave writing, and several scenes, in particular the extended sequence where Clementine listens to the awful things that Joel has told the Lacuna staff about her, are very difficult to sit through. They also drive home the film's central theme, that however long Joel and Clem can stay together, they ultimately do one another more good than harm. Finally, as Joel hides in his memories, he discovers that Patrick has stolen his entire relationship with Clem. Coming off the Lord of the Rings trilogy, Elijah Wood is excellent as the plausible, insidious, and desperate Patrick. His scenes with Clem walk the line between very funny and intensely unsettling, as he says what Joel said, does what Joel did, but to no effect. Patrick may be working from memory, but he lacks the power that memory lends, becoming, ultimately, a bad copy himself, distorted and blurred. The supporting cast also impress, and like Joel and Clem, reveal their true natures over the course of the film. Tom Wilkinson's Mirzwiak changes from an archetypal science fiction scientist to an insidious, passive-aggressive figure who uses his technology to erase his own mistakes. Similarly, Mark Ruffalo's Frank, initially presented as a Clash-obsessed fan, utterly driven by the concept of social justice, is made impotent by the revelation that his suspicions, in the end, were right, and Mary and Mirzwiak had been involved in an affair. The script even manages to make it ambiguous as to whether he was the one who ran the procedure on Mary. Finally, Kirsten Dunst is excellent as Mary, whose education at first goes no further than a book of quotations, but who is eventually revealed to be a woman of extraordinary courage and character. But all this is just window dressing for Carey and Winslet. For all his invention, for all his desperate need to retain the memories of Clementine, Joel loses. The film could safely end on the sequence at the beach house, the pair of them pulling apart and out of focus as night and the tide sweep in, and the relationship comes to the end that it deserved instead of the end it got. That it doesn't, and in fact loops back on itself, not only mirrors Joel and Clem's inability to leave one another alone, but also reinforces the film's message that there is no such thing as an easy ending, that life consistently refuses to be tidy. Which, in the end, is the point. Gondry and Kaufman are on record as saying they believe Joel and Clem spend the rest of their lives dating, breaking up, erasing one another, and falling in love again, and it's very difficult to argue with that logic. The best they can hope for is that with awareness of their last relationship, they can work around their problems, break the cycle. The worst is that they spend the rest of their lives reliving the same beautiful, life-affirming, terrible months. The truth lies somewhere in between, with the pair of them playing in the snow on Montauk Beach, isolated from their past and their future, and living completely in the moment. They love one another, and as the film ends, the final message is clear. That's all that matters.